Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning Lidu Nishmasa and Lezeich Nishmasa, Miriam Frill, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, May her Neshama have an Aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. Amen. I can't not mention that at 8 p.m. tonight is the Levayos for both of those who were murdered yesterday in the anti-Semitic terror attack in Jersey City, New Jersey. The Levaya of Moshe Hirsch Deutsch, Hashem Yikom Damo, was to commence this evening at 8 p.m. at the Satmar Beis Medrash in Williamsburg. The Levaya of Mrs. Leah Mindel Ferenc, Hashem Yikom Damo, 8 p.m. in Jersey City. Ms. Askim thanks the medical examiner, federal, state, and local law enforcement for their incredible compassion and understanding of Jewish customs to ensure a timely funeral. I'm sure by now that everyone has seen the news that it was not, like they said yesterday, a drug bust gone bad. It was a premeditated, targeted attack on the kosher Jewish grocery store. You could go online and see the video footage of the U-Haul pulling up outside. And they get out very calmly. They ignore all the passerby and pedestrians in the street with their guns aimed. They go directly into the grocery store. The woman who fell, Ferenc, I'm not sure exactly, please forgive me if I pronounce the last name, was 33 years old, a mother of five children. They were the store owners. The 24-year-old's father is one of the biggest Baalei Tzedakah from what I've seen in Williamsburg. And also the officer, something, his last name with an S. Does anyone remember what was his name? Seals, Officer Seals, Detective Seals, over 15-year veteran of the force, was 40 years old, and five children. So we have to remember, you know, that the parasha tells us, sometimes you see in articles, why do they hate us? It's so interesting, because I saw when I was walking in, you're having a very chashuv scholar in residence for Shabbos. And I saw that the afternoon shir is, does Esav always hate us? So someone will go to shir and tell me what he says, please. Rav Anitzchak Eisenman, Shlita, does Esav always hate us? And by Yaretz Esav, the cross, so it's ironic that it's this week's parasha, which Rav Soloveitchik says is the book of the destiny of the Jew. Vayivatar Yaakov Levado, Vayavek Ish Imo Ad Alos HaShachar, Vayarkilo Yacholo, Vatekab Bekaf Yercho. And when they finally meet, Yaretz Esav the Krasso, Esav runs to meet him. Vayichab Kehu, and they're hugging. It's ambiguous who's kissing and hugging who. He hugs him. Vayipol al tzavarav, he falls on his neck. So Esav, thank God, is not going to kill him. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Vayisha Kehu, and he kisses him. Vayivchu, and they cry. And he lifts his eyes, and he sees the woman and the children. And he says, who are all these people? And it's very, very famous that there are dots over Vayisha Kehu, and he kissed him. So Rashi says, why are there dots? There is a machokas chazal. There are those who say there are dots to teach you, shalom nashka b'chalibu. He did not kiss him with all his heart. The other opinion is, Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, halacha hi biyadua she'esav sona de'yakov. Here's the very famous, and I guess that's the basis for the shir. Halacha biyadua, it is a known halacha that Esav hates Yaakov. And I want to Rav Shai Shechter say, I believe in the name of his father, of Herschel Shechter, that people don't realize halacha means, like, just like it's a halacha that you have to keep Torah Samashmach. It's a halacha that we light Shabbos candles. It's an absolute engraved law. You don't understand that halacha b'yadusha Esav sona l'Yaakov. It is an engraved halacha. It's an absolute law that Esav hates Yaakov. So why are there dots? At this time, his mercy was aroused, and therefore he kissed him with all his heart. So in other words, he did kiss him with all his heart, but it's an exception to the rule. The rule is Esav hates Yaakov. So we just have to remember something very important. When Rashi comments on Chumash is also significant. You would expect that the end of Parshas Toldos, in the aftermath of the stealing of the brachos, so towards the end, right at the end of Perach of Zion, so the pasuk says towards the end, Vayistav Esav es Yaakov al habrachos. Esav harbored hatred towards Yaakov over the brachos. Vayistav Esav es Yaakov al habrachos. Vayomer. Belibo, I don't remember the exact question, but I remember Belibo. Yikruvu yumei evil aviva aharga es Yaakov achi. The beginning of the pasuk is correct, and the pasuk is correct. And Esav says in his heart, on the days of mourning for my father commences, I will kill my brother. So isn't that the logical place for Rashi to tell me, halacha v'yidua she'esav sona l'Yaakov? Makes a lot of sense. Esav harbors resentment in his heart, and he says, when father dies, I will kill my brother. So Rashi should say, Esav hates Yaakov. Or, Vayivatar Yaakov Vado at Alos HaShachar, Vayavek Ish Imo, so Yaakov is all alone. Well, it should say, Halacha V'yadu, She'esav Son of Yaakov. Yaakov is alone, and a man wrestles with him. So why does Rashi tell me when he kisses him, you should know, Esav hates Yaakov? It seems a very strange place for Rashi to come up with this comment. Rashi should say this comment when Esav Taka hates Yaakov, he's kissing him. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says his mercy was aroused and he really kissed him with all his heart. So it's a very strange place for Rashi to come along. And who learns Chumash without Rashi? Nobody learns Chumash without Rashi. So why? So we have to remember something very important. It also relates to Maisa Chanukah. And it relates to the gullus in which we find ourselves. Rashi does not need to come on. She also lived in a turbulent time, at a time when the Torah centers in Germany, which was the main Torah centers of the time, Worms, was totally decimated and destroyed. He went back to France and he took Torah with him, and Torah Shabbat Al-Peh survived. The Rav says, with all due respect to the Rambam, and the Rav says, without the Rambam, I wouldn't have a job. He says, with all due respect to the Rambam, without Rashi, Torah would not have survived. And Rashi learned in the Torah centers in Germany, they were absolutely annihilated. So when the pasuk says Vayistom Esav es Yaakov al brechos asher brecho avi vayomer belibo yikruvi me eva avi arga es Yaakov achi, so Rashi doesn't need to tell me halacha b'yidusha Esav son of Yaakov. Why not? Esav himself declares, I will kill my brother. I hate my brother. And when the pasuk tells me that the Sarshal, Esav, the mysterious Ish, the arch nemesis of our people, meets us when we are all alone, when we are on the river Yabok, and he fights with us all the long night. So why does Rashi need to tell me? Alacha b'diush, Esav, son of Yaakov. Everybody knows that Esav hates Yaakov. When they come with the gas chambers, and when they come with the power of the Spanish Inquisition, and when they come with Kol Beni Yula Raya Tashlichu, in Benhu, Reisam Al Ha'avnayim, in Benhu Varmitamo. So when Pharaoh says, as soon as the baby comes out, if you see it's a boy, break his neck. So I don't need Rashi to tell me, Alecha Vidush Esav, son of Yaakov. When do I need to be reminded? It's an absolute law that Esav hates Yaakov when he kisses me. When he runs to me, when he hugs me, Ayaret Esav Vikraso, he runs, Vayichab Kehu, and he hugs him, Vayipol Tzavarav, he falls on his neck, and he gives you a big, fat, geshmak kiss, because he's so happy to see you, and he welcomes you with open arms to the golden Medina, and you think, I finally made it, we made peace, and they love me. So you know what Rashi says? Be very, very careful. Halacha biyadua she'esav son of Yaakov. You know when you have to be reminded? When it's so good for us. When they love us and they kiss us and they welcome us. And Bed Bath & Beyond sells the gold, red, and green balls on one side and the silver, white, and blue decorated balls on the other side and the lights of this one of real lights, and they love us and they welcome us and it's wonderful for us. Rashi says you have to be very, very careful. Halacha biyadua that their true colors will once again emerge. What?
And this was Rosh Hashanah who said this.
No.
Oh.
I'm saying this. It's obvious. It's befeirish. Why does Rashi say Vayishakeh Alacha Vidush Esav Son of Yaakov? There's so many times that it could tell me Alacha Vidush Esav Son of Yaakov when Esav Taka hates him. The one time Esav demonstrates love, Rashi says, "Oh, just a minute. I have to tell you." Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Such a strange place for us to comment." Because that's when we become deceived and tricked into thinking we're home and we're comfortable and we're welcome and we're needed and they're hugging and they're kissing and we're accepted. So Rashi says, "Don't be so comfortable." Rachmana Litzlan. And it's I'm walked into the knowledge today, so I always start with how are you. So they say how are you. So I said Baruch Hashem, I physically okay. It's very disturbing. My son and I believe I mentioned we met a Holocaust survivor, Mr. Mickey Goldschmidt on Mush, over the summer. Some people know him. He lives in Windmere. My son noticed he has numbers on his arms, and he made a connection, and he asked if he could come talk to him. And I can't forget what he told us. Lo aleinu, Hashem yirachim aleinu. But he said, we had two times, he said, we had a very nice life. It's exactly like here. He said, who could have imagined? And we just have to, Shimshon Pinchas says in Torah V'kinyana, and I've quoted this passage before, Shimshon Pinchas says, we have to know where our generation fits into the picture. he did a calculation based on a certain sefer, this I'm quoting Rav Pinchas, every 50 to 60 years there is a new gezeira against the Jews. In between there's a quiet period, and Rav Pinchas says we have to know where we fit into the picture. He says today the refrigerators are full, we have so much, we even have so much Torah learning, Baruch Hashem, but he says, quote, we have to know that Hashem changes the time, and the only answer is teshuva, we have to be misover ourselves. We have to return to the Ribono Sha'olam. We have to be Ba'achdos. We're coming up to Vayeshiv, next week's parasha. Vayikanu bo acha, vayisnu oso, vayava Yosef, esti basam ra. Avim, I just saw today for the first time, I never saw this before. Yosef was originally supposed to be in jail for 10 years. I saw it yesterday for the first time. Then he was added 2 more years. But why for 10 years? I never saw this. I don't even remember where I saw it. Because he spoke Lashon Hara about 10 brothers. So I never saw it before. So he was supposed to be in jail 10 years for 10 brothers. So we have to return to the Ribono Sha'olam. And we have to return to our fellow. And I think it's so also ironic, the past 2 major attacks, Rechman and San and Masai, was Pittsburgh on a Reform temple and Satmar. And we think we're so different. And sometimes we think we have nothing to do with each other. And they dream about this, and I dream about this, and we can't speak to each other in peace. We can't speak to each other. We can't see eye to eye. And the Umas HaOlam see very clearly what the reality and what the Metzias is. Or Salvechik says, and these stories, by the way, are the stories of Hanukkah. Where does Hanukkah fit into this whole picture? Hanukkah is the Oyev, even though we have a little bit of a misconception, because if you look at the history, you will see that under Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus IV, who was the ruler in Syria, the Syrian Greeks, thousands of Jews were slaughtered. Bless you. Thousands of Jews were slaughtered. But the main battle was over a spiritual fight, over the Misyavnim. The Misyavnim were the Hellenists who went to the other side. It was an enemy of Vayichabkehu, Vayipal Tzavarav, Vayishakehu. It was an enemy who said, just be like us, we'll be friends. And sometimes that's an even more dangerous enemy because we don't recognize that it is the enemy. When they want to befriend us, we don't realize that it's our enemy. That was the enemy of Hanukkah. These stories are always red stories. These parashios are always the parashios of Kislev, leading up to Yosef, the climax, which is the parashios of Hanukkah. And it's interesting that the Torah does not tell us... Did anyone see the video? Did you see the surveillance video? Did anyone else see the video? You could go online and watch it.
We saw it.
And you see how there's so many people in the street. They go with
the... That was the worst.
They go right...
The blacks on the street, their reaction to this.
They walk right... They ignore all the people in the street with their rifles forward. They literally...
Disgusting.
It's almost like robotic. It's mechanical. Walking from the van... with guns pointed to the kosher grocery.
Yeah, no,
there are people, there are tens of passerby. They don't turn there, it's not a random attack. They don't, it's so chilling. It's so the Pasuk says, if you pay attention in the book of Bereishis, there's a lot of mention about, once we get up to the story of Yaakov and Yosef, about an ish. For example, Vayivatar Yaakov Levado Vaye Avek Ish Imo Ad Alas Hashachar. Who was the Ish? Everybody knows. Rashi quotes it. Who was the Ish? The Sar Shel Esav. It was the superpower, if you will, the heavenly power of Esav. Why does it call him an Ish? Why doesn't it just tell me that he was the superpower of Esav? When Yosef goes to find his brothers, his father sends him. Next week's parasha, and he's journeying to find them. Vayimtza Ehu Ish. A man finds him, and Rashi says there, who was it? Does anyone remember? Gavriel. Very good. Emteyu ish, vihino toa basada, he's like straying in the field, vayishaleyu ha'ish, leimor matavakesh, and the ish says, they've journeyed from here, I heard them going to Dasan, so you have this repeated story of an ish. When the brothers come back to Yaakov, they say, Diber Isha Aretzi Tanu Kashos. I'm paraphrasing. Why Ish? The Rav Salvechik says the common denominator in all of these verses is the Ish. It's an anonymous person. It's frighteningly strange, his behavior, to the point of absurdity. And that absurdity precipitates fear. We don't appreciate the story of Yaakov on the river Yabok enough because we're too used to it. But it is a Jew all alone who is attacked by a mysterious ish. Who is this ish? Someone sent me a video today. I don't know if, no, it's not sent it to me. She just showed it to me on her phone that there was patrol on Central Avenue? Was anyone on? Oh, you saw the video, or you were on Central?
I
you saw
the video.
That they there were cops patrolling Central Avenue, and you know, you start to wonder, can I go to the grocery store? Can I send my children to yeshiva? They said that the attack yesterday in Williamsburg, he had so much ammunition that they believe that they were going to carry out a large-scale attack. Their next target was the yeshiva next door. The element of absurdity precipitates fear. It is a grisly fear. We are not necessarily frightened of Esav. You know the identity of the enemy and the nature of the conflict. And in fact, the Ha'emek Dover says, and Itziv says very powerfully, when Yaakov says to him, Ma'ashimcha, what's your name? And he says, Lamazet Tish'al Lashmi, why do you ask my name? So the Emek Davar, then it's even his commentary to Torah, writes, why did Yaakov want to know his name? He wanted to know what koach does the angel have. Recognize thy enemy. The Emek Davar is very powerful. He wants to know, ma kocho. What is your koach? What is your makeup? So when the time comes, says the Netziv, there will be a to'alis, there will be a purpose. If I can identify your koach, I could fight with you. If you know your enemy, you could fight. But if you don't know your enemy, how can you fight the battle? It's even in the physical realm, there's a mashal and a nimshal to this. If there's somebody, and I'm not talking about the ultimate diagnosis, let's say you have strep throat. You have to know what you're dealing with to treat it. Let's say your child is acting out in class. So do they have this diagnosis or that diagnosis, this emotional disorder, that emotion? You have to know what it is to deal with it. So the Emek Davar explains that Yaakov wants to know, who are you? What's your name? The name is the essence. What is your makeup? I can't fight you. Even we learn so much in Bilvavi. You have to know what your Yetzer Hara is for something in order to identify the Yetzer Hara, then you can fight the Yetzer Hara. But if you don't even know what your Yetzer Hara is fighting in what area, how could you fight him? You need to be aware of what the battle is. So Emek Davar says that's why Yaakov asks his name. He wants to know, who is my enemy? Who am I fighting? We are not frightened, says Rav Salavitchik, of Esav's hatred because you know the enemy. What precipitates the fear is the episode of Vayavek Ish Imo. There wrestled a man with him. The anonymity of the enemy. Who is he? Where does he come from? Whose representative is he? How can you reconcile the differences with him? A cloud of anonymity envelops the whole episode. We know nothing about the nature and the purpose of the engagement, the bitter struggle. All we know is that the Ish wants to destroy Yaakov. No pardon, no clemency. The secrets, the silence, the absurdity, the anonymity stimulates grisly fear. And Rashi says, Ma Shimcha, Amazet Tish'al Lishmi. Rashi says, the angel says, I'm always changing my mission, so my name always changes. My name goes according to the divine mission. One day the enemy looks like this, and the next day he looks like that. Today he has this face, and tomorrow he is that face. My grandfather writes in his memoirs about the liquidation of Krasnik. He says the Jews were running in the streets, there was shooting all over, there was crying, it was a rainy day. And he says, our neighbors of 1,000 years, the wicked Poles, stood by and rejoiced in our great misfortune. Today they're your neighbor, and tomorrow your executioner. I don't know if anybody saw, did you see the video, if anybody didn't see it, of Mr. Fendes, how do you pronounce the last name? Does anyone know?
Which one?
The owner of the supermarket.
The
Mindov. Okay, so however you pronounce the last name, what a bad neighbor he is. Did you see the video of him handing out
candy
sweets to the African-American children in the neighborhood on Halloween? They must have come into the store, and there's three girls, and he's giving them with a very wonderful smile on his face, candy. And who's your enemy? Who's the Ish? The repetition of the term Ha'ish comes to emphasize the unusual character of all these coincidences. There's a strange role played by an anonymous man. He did not know Yaakov. He did not know Yosef. It was tactless on the part of the Ish to approach Yosef. Why did he go over to Yosef? A certain man found him and he's straying in the field. And why did Yosef confine in the Ish? Why did he say to this anonymous man, oh, I'm looking for my brothers? How could this man relate to Yosef's cryptic answer to those 10 people he saw before? It's a strange coincidence that the Ish knew that the brothers moved from Shechem. The Torah repeats the term Ish to emphasize the Ish is not a man. The Ish is much more than a man. He's the angel who watches over Jewish history. He is the plenipotentiary of the Almighty. He's the Ish who guides events. He pursues its objective. Sometimes I have this name and sometimes I have that name, says Rashi. Why do you ask for my name? My name changes always depending on my mission. He meets Yosef, and because of this meeting, Yosef's drama becomes complex, puzzling, awesome. Yosef is hesitant, but ultimately he surrenders to the Ish. He surrenders to Jewish destiny. Rav Soloveitchik says that the story of Vayishlach, the parasha of Vayishlach, is the story of Jewish destiny. It's a story of Vayaavek Ish Imo at Alos HaShachar. I've been so disturbed. I asked the kids if anybody mentioned anything about New Jersey. They said no in school. It's not just the two lives that were lost, which would be horrific enough. It's also a reminder of the halacha biyadua. Ayaretz Esav of the Krasso, Vayichad Kehu, Ayipalat Sabarav, Ayishakehu. He runs, he's so happy, he welcomes him. With open arms, he falls on his neck, he hugs him and he kisses him. And what does Rashi say? One second. Don't forget where you are. Don't forget that you think they love you and you're accepted and you're in the highest echelons of people of government and you live in wonderful homes and wonderful community institutions, and there's such a plethora of everything we have today. Don't forget. The Ish made the decision for Yosef to go to Dothan. In doing so, he sealed the fate of Yaakov and his household. He exposes us to bondage, affliction, and loneliness. He sends Yosef to be the first Jew to experience the tragic experience of exile. Yosef acted in accordance with the instructions of the mysterious Ish. Indeed, all of the people involved in the Yosef story act compulsively, not necessarily because their actions are sound and good. They were forced by the sheer impact of Jewish destiny and the dynamic of historical realization of the Jewish people that we act in the way in which God's planned. You're waiting for a long time to say something. Go ahead.
No, go now. I'm telling you, I'm giving you the source of, that I remembered what you taught us, what the Rav said. The Rav said the enemy is not Amalek of every, there's an Amalek in every generation. And we always have to remember. Mm-hmm. And the Amalek of that generation were the Nazis. That's what you said, the Rav said. So the same thing.
So Rav Soloveitchik quotes his, I just want to clarify the statement so we're all clear. Rav Soloveitchik quotes his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zatzal, who says the teaching is that Amalek is anyone in any generation who arises to destroy. So the original Amalek is the grandson of Esav. Esav, Eliphaz, Amalek. One second. So we might think if someone does not come from Edom, that's not Amalek. If they're not from Edom, Amalek is Edom, Rome. When he asks for Churban Bayisheni, when he asks for soup, Alitainin Amin Ha'adom Ha'adom Hazeh, chapter 25, Parshas told us, pour that red, red stuff into me, Alkein Karshmo Edom. Therefore, his name is called Red. Amalek comes from Esav Edom, but Rav Chaim Brisker, as quoted by his grandson of Soloveitchik, teaches that Amalek is anyone in any generation who arises to destroy us. Okay, so go ahead.
So what I'm saying, so we have to wake up and exactly what you're saying.
It's so what?
So that every generation, we can never, you're telling us, you know, the Ish, you don't even have to say the Rashi, we're living it, we are seeing it on a day, unfortunately. It's not just, like you said, the two people that were killed. No. It's the
much
reaction. It's the anti-Semitism. It's the hatred. Get the heck out. We don't want you here. Everything was calm. You guys organized the shooting. You hear this?
You guys organized
the shooting. It was all our fault.
You saw the video? Did
yes,
you see? Oh.
It was all our fault.
Did anyone see the video? They sent representatives, one second, for Americans Against Anti-Semitism to give support, because usually after mass shootings there's a vigil, there's teddy bears, not that it does any good, there's candles.
Nothing.
The people outside the store were blaming the Jews. And I said this morning in Flatbush class, you know how many people woke up this morning and rejoiced?
Guys, you know?
So, it's important to remember Amalek is in every generation, but sometimes they could hug us and kiss us. And that's the key that we can't forget. And that's what and that's perhaps why Vayishlach, the Rav says, is the destiny. When I quote him, by the way, I'm quoting from all over the place, when he says that's the destiny of the Jew. What's the destiny of the Jew? It's not just they wrestled all the long night. And the Baal Terem says, and Rashi says, that the dust went all the way up to the Kisei. The Rashi doesn't say, I don't remember. I would have to look up. The Baal Terem says the dust went all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. The dust went all the way up to the heavenly throne. That's what the Baal Terem says. But why is it also the destiny of the Jew? Because of the pasuk that we quoted by starting our shir. He runs to greet him, he hugs him, he falls on his neck, and he kisses him.
Right.
And that's the enemy we don't recognize. And that's when we think that it's wonderful, when they're our friends. And that's the enemy of Hanukkah, which is what I started to say. Mm-hmm. Just be like us. Remember, by Hanukkah, what did the Syrian Greek say? No Rosh Chodesh? No Shabbos, no Bris Milah. And I say this every year in some venue or another, that Rabbi Kitov writes in his book of our heritage in Sefer Toda'ah on Kislev Chanukah. Why those three things dafka? Shabbos represents a world has a creator. Kisheshes Yamim Asa Hashem, Asa Shemayim Vesaretz, Vayanach Be'al Meshvi. God made the world in 6 days, he rested on the seventh day. So Shabbos represents the world has a creator. Rosh Chodesh represents time has sanctity. It was the first national mishvah, Parshas Bo, and Shemos, Perikir Beis. And Bris Milah represents the body has restraint. You can rein in your taiva. It's not easy, but it can be done. So Rav Kitov says, why did they dafka want to abolish these three things? Because Shabbos shows, they wanted to show the world has no creator. Rosh Chodesh, they wanted to show time does not have sanctity. And Mila, they wanted to show the body does not have kedusha or restraint. Shabbos, abolish. The world does not have a creator. Rosh Chodesh, time is profane. And the body is likewise profane without restraint. And that's why so beautifully, Chanukah is 8 days long, Bris Mila one, and endured. It always has a Shabbos. And it always has a Rosh Chodesh. These things are not an accident. And the enemy of Hanukkah and the enemy Vayishakehu, be like us. This week's Parsha. People, says the Rav. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm quoting from many places. Many places. Why is this the destiny of the Jew? Because you have both kinds of enemies embodied in Vayishlach. The enemy of the mysterious Ishu wrestles with us the whole long night, and you have the enemy of they befriend us. And Dina goes out to see the daughters of the land, and Shechem sees her, the prince of the land, and he takes her, and he lays with her, and he violates her. Wow, he loves her. He loves the maiden. And he speaks to her heart. He doesn't come to kill her. He kisses her. Actually, pun is intended. He hugs her. He falls upon her neck. He seduces her into the charm of the Umas HaOlam. Unbelievable. I think it's a Das Kemi Bali Tosfos who says that Shechem would come to her tent and play music around her tent to draw her out. The music of the land. Why does she go out? Because Shechem would come with musical instruments and play their music around her tent. That's why Yichabkehu. That's when we forget that they are our enemies. And Shechem says to his father, I want this girl, take her. Yaakov hears what happens and he is silent. Okay. Yeah, the sons of Yaakov come from the field and they say, whoa, this is not going to happen. And ultimately, they kill out the whole people. But Daber Chamor Itam Lemur. Chamor says, Shechem b'ni chashka nafsha b'vitchem. Shechem, my son, his soul desires your daughter. Tenu lanu osel alisha. What's the problem? Why can't we marry her? Halacha b'yodu esh'esav son of Yaakov. You think they're your friends? V'hitchatnu otanu. What will we do? We'll have chasanas together. V'noseichem titnu lanu. V'espinoseinu tichu lachem. We'll change our children. V'itanu teishvu. Let's all dwell together. We'll go to parties together. We'll rejoice together. We'll marry together. The land will be before you. Dwell in our land. Rav Salvechik says people do not understand. They think that Shimon and Levi were cruel. How could you get up and slay a whole people? If someone comes to you physically to kill you and you fight back, do you think it's cruel? Do you think, wow, you just saved a life? You know, Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. I don't know if you saw in Yeshiva World News, I've been so, I did teaching today, Baruch Hashem, and laundry and dinner and cleaning, but just very, very disturbing. But did anyone see in Yeshiva World News, they started a fund for officer seals? Yes, no, they wanted to reach $25,000 for his widow and five children, make a Kiddush Hashem. In just over 4 hours, they raised over $25,000. In just over 4 hours, over $25,000. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But we also have to know our distance. One second, please. We have to know our distance. And Rav Soloveitchik says, people don't understand Shimon and Levi. If someone comes to physically kill you and you fight back, you're a hero. Our officer is a hero. Rahman's son, it would be better if he was alive and with his family, but he's a hero because he fought back. If someone comes to spiritually kill you, when they kiss you and they hug you, how could you kill them? We're so liberal. We think it's terrible. The Jews are terrible. Shimon and Levi are kanaim. How could they kill them? If someone comes to physically kill you, what do? You fight back. If someone comes to spiritually decimate you, by the way, I'm not saying today, Khalid al-Khas, nobody takes this as advice in the literal sense. So Soloveitchik says, people don't understand Shimon and Levi. It was either fight back or the base, Yaakov, would be lost. How many people is he? A few people. He went down to Egypt, 70 people, so at this point he's not even 70. If the Jew does not fight back against the spiritual threat, and today we do not mean to do what Shimon and Levi did, no one should understand that, Khalid al-Khas, that's absolutely not the case. But if we do not fight back against the spiritual threat, against the hug and the kiss, we will be, Rahman al-Tzayn, says Rav Soloveitchik, that we don't stand. You think Shimon and Levi were murderers? They were fighting for the integrity, the sanctity, the life of Knesset Yisrael. We should marry them, you'll marry us, you'll live with us, we'll dwell together. Avraham Avinu established that even in death we're not with them. Even in death we must be separate. And we don't understand that today. And if we don't understand the threat of Vayishateu, Hashem Yirachim, Hashem needs to send us reminders. In my opinion, says Rav Soloveitchik, you're waiting to say, one second, please, Baruch Atah Adonai
Amen. I think that what you just said echoes what we talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago about how what the fine ayid is Rachman and Baishanim and Golei Chasadim, that, you know, being a Baal Rachamim or being a Baishan, it doesn't mean necessarily
misplaced
chasad. So it's like where Shimon and Levi, their Rachamim would have been misplaced if they would have let it go.
Or very nice. That's why when they say, their father says, Achartim osi b'enei yoshvei ha'aretz, what are you doing? You made me susceptible before the people of the land. And the conversation ends when they say, Ha'kazona, asachoseinu, abas susol, should be made into a harlot. It's the end of the conversation. And that's why it's true by Pinchas, when he got up to kill Zimri and Cosby. He is lauded. He goes down in the books as a hero, but he just murdered two people. He gets the Brisi Shalom, the covenant of peace, and the covenant of Kahuna. He's a murderer. You have to know when chesed is misplaced.
I was going to say, yesterday I was eating lunch when that news break came out, and the news announcement was, there's a school in New Jersey, Sacred Heart, it's on lockdown because there's a gunman nearby outside the school. They didn't say anything. I had no
idea. In the beginning they didn't know. There was a lot of conflicting information. Okay. Only today emerged what the real story was. Okay. It was only today. Yesterday, there was a lot of misinformation. It took some time. Going back to Soloveitchik, I'm not saying that they're sorry. They're rejoicing.
It was like really not
two less Jews in the world is a cause of rejoicing. But yesterday, there was a lot of misinformation. They did not know. Says Soloveitchik, in my opinion, the Ish who met Yosef, v'hinei toa basada, ma'ata mevakesh. The Ish who meets Yosef is the same Ish who meets Yaakov. On that dark, grisly night, when Yaakov the Jew is all alone, aren't we all alone? I don't mean us at this table. I mean Am Yisrael. that Ish meets Yaakov in the dark and grisly night, and Yaakov alone is without friends, without comrades. Echa yashva badar ha'ir ribasi am haisa ka'almana. Rabasi bagayim sarasi bamedinos haisa lamash. She had so many friends. Kora'el bagtuba. Yerushalayim had so many friends. Where are they? Without friends and comrades, and Yaakov all alone had to wrestle till daybreak. That's the destiny of the Jew. What did the Ish tell Yaakov? Your history will be replete with conflict and struggle. You might emerge uninjured from your engagement with Esav. However, you will confront others who will oppose you. Soloveitchik says that the fight ends and nobody concedes. The Ish is saying, I will be back. You might emerge uninjured from this certain conflict with Esav. You will confront others who will oppose you. For you, historical living, the Jew, historical living, as we live through history, is identical with heroic living. The Jew goes through history heroically. And maybe that's why he was Gavriel. He has a message. The Ha'emek Davar says, I quoted already, that the essence of the Malach is in his name. Gavriel represents strength of God. And maybe the Ish meets Yosef, who sends him into Golos, essentially. Where are my brothers? And he says, your brothers move from here. I heard them saying, let's go to Dothan. It's Gavriel who meets Yosef, who invests in him the courage of God. As you journey now into Golos, know you need one thing. You need tremendous strength. For you, historical living is identical with heroic living. In loneliness, you will always need to be on the alert. In loneliness, and always on the alert. The whole world, the Ish said to Yaakov, will misunderstand you. The whole world will misunderstand your goal. The whole world will display very little sympathy for you. Whose fault is it that two Jews were killed yesterday? Go watch the video. Whose fault is it? The Jews. If they wouldn't be here, this wouldn't have happened. She was complaining that her children were under lockdown. My children were stuck in school. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Horrible.
The whole world will misunderstand your goal. They played on the radio? I'm surprised. Because it's like, shows how ludicrous they are. And it's interesting that they took the time to play it. Did they play on the radio the video of him giving out candy to the African-American children on Halloween in an act of Kiddush Hashem? The whole world will misunderstand your goal. It's only a 7-second video. I can send it out if anyone's interested. The whole world will misunderstand your goal and display very little sympathy for you. Listen, ladies, come. We're finishing up. That Ish personifies the tragic, paradoxical moments in our history. That Ish personifies the tragic, paradoxical moments in our history. You know, when I think that how, on the one hand, it's far from the Holocaust. I spoke on the Nautilus today, speaking to, and I spoke about New Jersey. I address it. They see it on the news. It's on a dumbed-down shear, despite their age, chas v'sham. And there's a woman there who I know, Oschweim. She grew up in Oschweim. Oschweim was Auschwitz, the town of Auschwitz. And there are still survivors amongst us today at Meiva Esrim Shana. We're not so far away. And when they were shooting Jews in Shuls in Germany, chas v'sham, and we need a daven. We need to do as much chesed and ma'isim tovim as possible. And we need to work on Ahavas Yisrael. We need to work on Ahavas Yisrael. It doesn't mean condoning Chilul Shabbos, but it means understanding that the Kedoshim in Pittsburgh were like the Kedoshim yesterday. It's two, you know, opposite ends of the religious spectrum. On the one hand, Samar, and on the one hand, Reform.
And there was also
it's not
Poway.
An accident. What?
And also Poway. 6 months. Exactly. Oh, thank you. 6 months. Exactly
thank you.
6 months after
thank you.
Pittsburgh.
I forgot. You're right. Thank you. You're correct. Poway. So we have to work on our Havas Yisrael. We're reading the parashios of Yosef. Yosef Galus began, and I never saw it before. If you weren't here before, I mentioned that I saw yesterday in preparing Shir for next week, that Yosef was destined to spend 10 years in jail because he spoke Lashon Hara about 10 brothers. 2 years were added, whole story about the Sar Mashkim. About 10 years for Lashon Hara about 10 brothers. And the Galus began because of terrible misunderstanding between the B'nai Yisrael, literally. And we have to ask ourselves where we fit into this picture. And we have to open our eyes. Hashem is sending us messages. We have to be marbits in Torah. We have to increase acts of chesed. We have to shavta al Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. And we have to remember how the Galus began. It began with misunderstanding between Jews. It began by lack of acceptance, by not being able to talk to each other in peace. I'm not making this up. This is in the Pasha Pshat, a Feirush. In Miketz 2, the Ish appears several times. The role of the Ish confuses Yaakov and his sons. What did the Ish want? Why did he torture them? Neither the brothers nor Yaakov understood. And again, they feel something mysterious emerges from the confrontation, but they could not explain it. The Ish is like a distant star. Rashi tells us that the Ish who meets Yosef was the angel Gavriel, the executor of Jewish history. Jewish history is planned and willed by God. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan. We don't understand it. It can be very painful. But the Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan. Yosef, like Yaakov before him, was confronted with Jewish destiny. This is the Ish. You only have to know what our tafkid is. Our tafkid, like we learn here every single week, Baruch Hashem, for so many years, is to improve ourselves, to improve our Yir Shamayim, our Ahavas Yisrael, our acceptance. It doesn't mean to condone their actions, but to remember what brought us into Galus in the first place. And perhaps if we can reverse the equation, the enemy does not distinguish between Tree of Life, Reform Temple, Pawe Chabad, and Satmar Hasidim. They walked like robots across the street, ignoring all the passerby. We have to know our role. And Azrus Hashem, perhaps if we can reverse what brought us into Galus, it could be Zocha to the Geula Shlema, Bimhera, and the fulfillment of Jewish destiny. Does anyone have questions or comments? If your mama share besuras tovos, the neshama should have alios, umach Hashem dima me'al kol panim, v'cherpas amo yasir me'al kol ha'aretz, ki Hashem diber, amen.